This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It's the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor with Ty Taylor on this Saturday morning. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's a dreary day in downtown Aledo. No, it's not, because the giant Christmas tree is lit up. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Live local radio from the downtown Aledo studios. I know yesterday was kind of a big day here. We had Margo Price in studio with us doing a set. I thought it was great that her husband is musically talented as well, but then he dropped the reference that he was playing basketball at the YMCA with Justin Long, and I'm like, what the what?
I wish I would have gotten invited to that.
Yeah. So, and then they said, Margo Price is in the swimming pool at the YMCA. But anyway, good to have you along on a Saturday morning. We're winding down, of course, 2023 as we, you know, head toward the Christmas holiday and then the New Year. And I know our open house thinking about, well, what's the top memory you had at WRMJ in 2023 from a high school sports season? For me, it was the highlight of Rockridge beating Rockford Lutheran. So that was, I guess, my top moment. And I think probably Ty's top moment was getting to broadcast a three-peat in high school softball.
Yeah, absolutely. That was pretty fun. You know, Rockridge's state finals run again, you know, what they did in softball. When you look at it, I think in the regional championship, they won 1-0 against Kewaunee. But other than that, I mean, the games they played, you know, I think they won in the semifinals by 3. They won the state title game by 6 over Beecher. But, yeah, that was definitely, I think, the most fun I had all year was covering that run in the state tournament in the, you know, spring into the summer. So, yeah. It was fun doing that with Coach Cook, too. It wouldn't have been as fun without him.
Yeah.
Without
by the way, what did you think? Did you get a chance to listen to the show at all last week with him and Coach Breen?
I listened to, like, half of it. I haven't finished it yet, though.
So you,
but, yeah, those two are great.
Yeah, the Green Room edition was even better before they came on
I'm
the
sure
air.
It was.
And after the airwaves. And speaking of the other thing that I was thinking about, and I saw John Hoshite posted this a few weeks ago. Well, he like posted it on the official WRMJ Facebook page. And then on the WRMJ Twitter account. And I'm like, well, people are saying, who's posting this? And then he posted it on his personal page about how many games he's broadcast over the years. And I love the highlight at the beginning. That's top form, small market radio, John Hoshite at his very best. So I know he doesn't own the station anymore, but you know, this has been a year of transition here at this radio station too. So I want to make sure people understand that the impact of the station still starts and stops with John W. Hoshite, unequivocally.
Right. Yeah, well, everything we do, I mean, obviously, you know,
he's the boilerplate.
Right,
man.
He started everything, and without him, none of this would have been possible. So I know I think he's going to St. Louis today to see his family. I know Leo fell down, got into some trouble, so hopefully they can fix his nose. I know he was talking about that yesterday at the Christmas. So, yeah, like you said, John, he's the man, and without him, none of this would be possible.
And we always, kind of the inside joke around here, and I shouldn't say it because John's probably listening, But we always, one of the great things John does that I love personally, well, his handwriting. Yeah. I love his felt tip handwriting is top notch, because everybody knows around here, hey, whose handwriting sucks the most? Well, it's the guy, Jim Taylor, his office. Don't ask him to write on anything. And then he always corrects everything I do when I write it on something. It's always the felt tip, like, right over it. So, like, someday, like, 80 years down the road when we're all gone, people are going to look at some WRMJ records and they'll say, whose handwriting is that? Yeah. And they'll say, John O'Shice. But anyway, the best thing John does, I love when we talk fundamentals with him, and then he demonstrates, like whether it's a jump shot or blocking technique. Yeah. Isn't that prime, like, top conversation?
He was demonstrating a blocking technique, and he was, like, blocking me, like, right out here. It was hilarious. That was great.
All right, now we're going to get into, like, district scheduling football debate today. Greg Armstrong will be with us, great guy, View from the West podcast. Now, one of my other top memories of this year, and I think about, like, I'm so fortunate to work in small market radio over the years with guys like John Hoshite, and then my son, I work with him now. And one of the fun things I did this year, I thought, I can't remember what week of the football season it was. Rockridge had played Morrison.
It was week 7. Yeah, and I was Knight Sherrard beat Orion, too.
I remember I had such a long day because I had to get up early for Farm Bureau RFD radio stuff. And I had to do something on the road that I had to cover. And then I had to run over to Morrison, do that game. And they said, well, we're going to do instant reacts with View from the West podcast. And I remember we started rolling that thing. And I walked out of here. It was like 12:30 a.m.
It was like 1.
Yeah, it was like the next day. Yeah. So I was up at 4, and I'm like, man, what a refreshing day, though, walking out, and how fun that was. And what Greg Armstrong has done by just a podcast that he started in the most simplest forms, and what it's become.
Yeah.
And what the lesson I have for that is, so many people start podcasts or whatever, they never finish. And you got to hammer at it, and you got to do it every week. And I just love what he's meant to high school football and high school sports. And we'll have him on today talking district football. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the Western Macomb holiday tournament that has a very proud heritage. Now, you had a chance to talk to one of the tournament organizers, right?
Yeah, Jerry Creamer. He's the head of their tournament committee. And we just kind of got into the history of the tournament. It started in 1946. And like you said, you know, there's always a great field this year. Same thing. Camp Point Central's the top seed. They're undefeated so far. Illini Bluffs, we know all about them. One of the, you know, contenders to win the 1A state title. Rock Ridge, the 3 seed in the tournament. I think you could say definitely a contender to win the 2A state title. And then I think the 4 seed is Pittsfield. And you look down the line, Macomb's off to a nice start. Eureka's always a solid program. They've won the tournament 2 years in a row. West Hancock's in that field, and so is there's one other team that's off to a good start that I'm forgetting right now. But yeah, it's a good field. Monmouth Roseville's there, obviously. Illini West, I think, is off to a nice start too. So
in West Hancock and Macomb, they beat Illini Bluffs, right?
Correct. So there's a potential where West Hancock and Illini Bluffs could potentially play in the second round. And then if Rock Ridge and Illini Bluffs both, you know, take care of business early, they would meet in the semifinals of a rematch of the game that Illini Bluffs won a couple of weeks ago, or last week.
And we were talking, if you go, is it holidaybasketball.com? Is that their website? Something like that. If you just type in Western Holiday Tournament. But Aledo had a legacy there for a while, and was it 1965 they won the tournament? Yep. And then Rockridge is going for their 5th title there, and we've broadcast every one of the 4 previous.
And I believe if Rockridge were to win the tournament this year, they would tie for the most tournament titles. I think Macomb has won 5, but I don't think anyone else has won 5. Rockridge has won 4, and it's all come since 2013, I think.
Yeah, so they're the per capita, like, champs of that tournament for you know, how many years that they've played. But that, I tell people, too, covering that, that's a great tournament. Well, one, you're covering Rockridge, and since they've been in it, I mean, they've been on the elite run when, you know, Happ was there, he was the MVP, then Brian Heath, then Gentry Whiteman, you know, 3 years in a row, and then
Nate Henry.
But then one of my favorite stories in that tournament, and if the Rock Ridge people are listening, we know what the Metamora basketball program has become. And this tells you how good Rock Ridge was in that era, where they beat them twice in the championship game. And their coach got so mad the second time they Rockridge beat them because Brian Heath absolutely annihilated that team, and he was crying because Brian Heath got to the line so many times. Well, because he got to the rim and got fouled, and their top player was just a perimeter three-point shooter that went on to play at Bradley. But they left the tournament because of that. Yeah. Metamora left the tournament because of Rockridge. So
and last year they beat Simeon in the 3A state yeah. title game in a classic game.
So I just think that that's such a great tournament. And I love the final day of the tournament. Now, a lot of people say, well, you're crazy because you have to play the semifinals the same day you play the finals. And the championship game's not till like 9:30 at the earliest at night.
Which it never starts yeah,
like,
at 9:30.
I think the one year it was a 9:58 tip-off on WRMJ. And then you're playing the semifinal game that same day either at right. 1 or 2:30. So that's the type of day you have at that tournament. And then Press Row, pretty good there, too. That's
what I like. Because
there's a lot of local radio stations that are there, and I love the interaction with that. Pretty good hospitality room. And I like Macomb, the high school, their involvement. And I like the university's involvement in it, too. And that's what I think makes a great tournament.
So who all will I see there? Sean Temple, of course, will be there covering
yeah,
Mom
you'll see
and probably A-Town, too, right? They yeah. do the A-Town games. Justice will be there. Our
yeah,
man,
and
Justice
I think
the,
I think Keith Yex from WCAZ in Carthage will probably be covering the Illini West Chargers and West Hancock Titans. Yeah, Justice, they're video streaming. I think all the games.
Yeah, for free. I think
so. The video team guy said, "Hey," I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Hey, you think you guys could stop by sometime and talk about Rich Rocket basketball?" And I'm said, "Yeah, sure. We have an expert on the staff. His name's Ty Taylor."
No, I don't know about that, but
Glenn Cook.
Yeah, you know. Right. Well, Coach Cook, this is funny too. The last like three Rockridge games I've done that he's been at, he comes up to me away games. You know, he's like, half jokingly, I'll say, is like, "You want me to help you out on the broadcast?" And I say half jokingly because I know he's half serious. But
oh, yeah.
I'm like, "Yeah,
he's
whatever
95%
you want."
Serious.
And then I'm like, "Yeah, of course, if you want to." And he's like, "Oh, you don't want me to." He's fishing for me to
what
tell
do
him
I,
that I want him
says.
To. And I always tell him, "No, I want you to. You had so much, Coach Cook. You're Mr. Rockridge. You're one-third Mr. Rockridge," I'll say.
Yeah. So what did you think earlier this week? Big showdown in the state with Bloomington Central Catholic and Rockridge, rematch of the state semifinals. Now, I think Bloomington Central Catholic, their record is very deceiving with who they've played, and I think their top player, the Hayes kid, was injured early in the season. He's back playing. Rockets play down there, kind of a tight ball game, led by six, I think, in the third quarter and lost, but Central Catholic has a tremendous freshman, and the Hayes kid was a great football player, but a really good basketball yeah. player. Don't have Cole Serta. I wish he would have been still in the
yeah,
mix, but he's
too.
At the IMG Prep Academy in Florida. So what'd you think?
Well, I think if the Serta kid was still at Central Catholic, they would definitely be, I would even say, a heavy favorite in the 2A field to win the state title. And you talked about their record. You know, they entered that game Thursday 5-5, but if you remember last year, I mean, they got to the state tournament and entered the state championship game last season with 11 losses. I mean, they play a tough schedule. They play in that inner city Bloomington Normal tournament where they, you know, the first week of the season without Hayes played U-High, who's always good. Normal Community is the top ranked team in 4A, I believe, early in the season. They played them. They played Tutopolis, who was at the state tournament already. St. Joseph Ogden, who is number 10 in 2A. So, yeah, they're a very good team. And it was a back-and-forth game. Like you said, Rockridge led in the third quarter about midway through by six. That was the biggest lead it was for Rockridge. And then Central Catholic answered on an 18-2 run to go up 49-39 and then kind of were able to keep Rockridge at arm's length the rest of the way. But, yeah, they have a freshman point guard who is really impressive and going to be a really good player.
Then,
he had a great night
yeah.
against
Well, and listening
Rockridge.
To the broadcast, I mean, I just haven't heard a lot of players over the years just say, you know, get to the rim yeah. against Rockridge. And you heard that kid getting to the rim and scoring against them. And then, you know, played at the Great Western Shootout last week, lost to Illini Bluffs, but have a chance for the rematch. That's going to be a good tournament next week. At the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament will be there. I know we'll be at Erie for part of the time after Christmas. Then also at Sherrard as well. And then girls basketball. I know I saw probably the top 2A team in the area is Alleman. Saw them play whatever night it was this week, Wednesday, against Mercer County. Top team, in girls basketball. It'll be interesting to see if they can make a run to state. But I know everybody's talking about the demise of Allman or the low enrollment. I'm not going to say demise. I'm a graduate of the school. But, I mean, they've been challenged with enrollment. But, and I was going to ask Kate Engwall about this, and I forgot. But they had it was youth basketball night that night at Allman. And they're good at the high school level. And they brought an army of kids on the floor for girls youth basketball at Allman. So they're in the right frame there. But with their other sports, I don't know what is going to happen down the road. And we talk a little bit about that with football today with Greg Armstrong with the district scheduling. And are they going to be in the mix with district not being a possibility now? Are they going to make another run at the track to try and get in?
Allman did, you know, officially announce, I think it was last month, they told the other Western Big Six schools that they weren't going to play varsity football in the 2024 season again. I think they officially announced it, like, to the public this week after the district scheduling proposal got voted down. And we get into this with Greg, so we won't touch on it too much right now. But, you know, I think, like we talked about with him, that if they weren't in the Big Six, like, let's say they were in the track or the district
they'd
schedule.
They'd play a varsity schedule
pass,
next
they'd
year.
They'd play a varsity schedule. Yeah. But they can't. I mean, it's just not safe. It's not best for the kids to throw them out there to play, you know, the Western Big Six schedule with what they're working with right now. It just isn't feasible, I think. So, yeah, I think, I don't know. I just don't think the Western Big Six is the home for them anymore, and we'll talk about that more.
Well, and that's why I preface my remarks here when we get into this conversation. I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm not saying my opinion is right. This is all opinion we get in the conversation, because some people get mad and they'll say, well, you want all of them in the track. I'm like, yeah, that's my opinion. I want them in the track. I think they'd be a perfect fit. So we'll get into that conversation. Also, I get a few words with Brian Roosh about that, and we'll run over 10 o'clock. We have a long open here, but hey, it's live local radio on a Saturday morning. Now, the other thing I was thinking about when I was coming in here, so it's the Christmas holiday season, and people can even interact on this if they want to. And I thought about doing a Facebook Live on this topic when we get done here. Well, I was thinking about Christmas, like, what's the best, and this is easy for me to answer, I was thinking about it, what's the best, like, sports-related item you ever got for Christmas? Oh, and you would probably say Steven Jackson jersey.
That's a hard question. Well, I don't know. That's a tough question to answer. I'd really have to think about that. I don't know, probably something related to the Astros winning the World Series twice. That's just so near and dear to my heart that that's got to be it.
Oh, come on, not Steven Jackson and the St. Louis Rams, man. Yeah, come on.
I've still heard about them, though. So Sam Bradford. I got a Sam Bradford jersey once. I was really on the Sam Bradford bandwagon.
Me too. 99% of our listeners are like, who's Sam Bradford? Yeah. And who are the St. Louis Rams?
Yeah, right.
The LA Rams. So I was thinking about the two best things I've ever got sports-related Christmas gift items. One was for my mom and dad. This was way back, like, in the 80s. And there was some, like, person that made these handcrafted, like, they were, like, I would compare them to, like, the Nerf basketball bank boards. But they were authentically made with wood, and they were in the, the fan-shaped backboard. And it was an Illinois Fighting Illini backboard. Like that mini basket, and I just love that thing. And then your mother got me an authentically signed Craig Biggio throwback batting practice jersey.
I
wear that all the time.
You wear that every
go to a game, man, the people's like, you wearing that jersey with Biggio's signature? Yeah, what of it, man?
So, with the way the Astros have got treated the past few years, that's
and you're running to enemy territory,
right? Yeah,
stuff. They get all mad, right. Cheater. Yeah,
whatever. But you know, you mentioned holiday basketball coming up. I know the Sherrard tournament that they're starting is named after Mike Hutchins, and I think we'll talk to Eric Hutchins a little bit about. I know his dad. That's got to be a big deal to him. He's helping organize the tournament, so we'll probably have something from him either online or we might play it next week on the show too with Eric because he's.
Mike Hutchins was the 80 when I started in this job.
And I know everyone has such great words to say about him and how much Sherrard means to, obviously, Eric and his dad, too. So I think that'll be fun to talk to Eric about kind of what that means to their family with him having the namesake of the tournament.
And I just remember when I first started over there, in the early 90s, man, the crowds at those games when they played, whether it was football or basketball, holy smokes.
Well, I'm telling you, man, I think they have the best following of anybody, and that we cover at least. And like the night that Rock Ridge and Sherrard played in boys basketball, what an incredible crowd. And we saw that, you know, last year. And I still say those two regional championship games Sherrard played in last year, in boys basketball, they played against Rock Ridge at Rock Ridge and had more fans than Rock Ridge. Yeah. And in girls, they played at Mercer County, against Mercer County, had more fans than Mercer County at the game. I mean, that, and like Tuesday night, they played at Mercer County and boys. And I mean, their visiting bleachers were like almost at a capacity. It was amazing, an amazing crowd. And, you know, they've really got it rolling in boys basketball. They're 9-1 through the first half of the season. Their only loss coming to Rock Ridge. And, you know, girls basketball wise for them, you know, I know they lost a lot from last year, but still they look like they're the team to beat locally, at least in the track. 5-0 in the conference, 9-4 overall. They got a nice win over Mercer County this week in girls basketball, too, at home. So, yeah, and Sherrard and boys basketball, you've got to see them once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the way
they just play. Absolutely wore down Farmington.
That's what they do. And like, Ryland Carton is... he's improved so much, and the Blackwell kid is just a junior. You know, like, I think those two kids have such high ceilings for them. I mean, they're very good already, but they can just, you know, Carton's up to like 6'4 now. Blackwell's about the best pure athlete we see all year with his leaping ability and, you know, his speed too. And then obviously, you know, their senior kids, Anderson and Hadelstad, and then Fender and Switzer do a great job defensively. They're about 7 really solid players, and they've been good, fun to watch so far, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
So there's the potential they could play Byron over there. Is that
Byron and IVC?
Oh yeah, and IVC's having a really IVC? Yeah,
be Kiwani.
Yeah, and then so the other thing then I was thinking about, I'm expecting then, hopefully, I think, and this is my expectation, minimally, I think both Mercer County girls and boys should be able to play in the semifinals with a chance to get to the title game at Workins. Yeah. And on the boys' side, I think got a chance to, I hope the Eagles get to play Kiwani. That's a good test for them here. They're in the field. And then the Mirko girls, of course, are going to play Wethersfield potentially 3 more times with the LTC tournament, right, the regular season, and then at Workins, where there's the potential where I think Mercer County has a chance to, you know, play in the semifinals.
The girls' field at Workins is pretty good. You know, I know that, like, Monmouth Roseville's there. Morrison's off to a nice start. They have a really elite player who scored 1,000 points, and she's just a junior still. So, yeah, that should be a pretty good field. And I know, obviously, you know, there's always the possibility Rock Ridge can get to the championship at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. But that's, like we said, a good field. So,
yeah.
But looking down the line for boys basketball, before we go to break, we touched on Bloomington Central Catholic earlier. The subsectional stuff changed this year, and instead of, you know, in the past Rock Ridge is super sectional, they've went to Sterling. This year, if they get there, it would be, or if any of our local schools get there, I should say. I don't want to shortchange anybody and get anybody mad at me.
Oh, there already are.
But it's at Springfield, the Bank of Springfield Center. The sectional is in Canton. The regional sites for boys are Monmouth, Roseville, and Farmington, and the teams that feed into the sectional in Canton are Bloomington Central Catholic could potentially be in the sectional. Peoria Emanuel would be in the sectional if they get there. They're, you know, highly ranked in the state. Peoria Notre Dame would be there too, potentially. Only two of those schools would be there, obviously, but the sectional complex is very strong this year. And I know we probably assume Rock Ridge will be there, but they're going to have some tough tests if they do get there. And I know, you know, there's obviously potential Sherrard could be there too, you know, in Mercer County, even if they can get things rolling in the second half.
So an IVC's in the sectional complex, right? Subsectional complex?
Yes.
And then a Central Catholic on the other side of the sectional then or not?
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a loaded, loaded sectional field of high school basketball. Now, it's interesting because Monmouth Roseville getting the regional, but I know when Coach Sotos was passing by when I saw him at the Great Western Shootout last week, after he got done with his post-game interview with the great – no, I don't think Sean Temple was there that day. His fill-in there was there for him. He big-timed somebody and went over, had another assignment somewhere apparently. But I said, man, Monmouth Roseville got the regional in boys basketball. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, something about maybe the college.
Yeah, I
don't know if that – then you're playing on the extended floor. That's a completely – another element. Now, I want to tell people, too, you know, I said Coach Breeden and Coach Cook, they were on Sportsline. You know, you can get a lot of the stuff on demand at WRMJ.com with some of the past conversations. And I was thinking about, I was talking to Evan Massey a couple of weeks ago when he won 1,000 games, and it was interesting. So this week I talked to, on our high school sports spotlights, those are available on demand. And I talked to three wrestling kids this week. Ethan Munson won his 100th win. Nice conversation with him. You can catch that on WRMJ.com. And the Sowards kid, that's just a freshman, won last week. He wears number 0 in football. I love that. I said, why do you wear number 0 in football? I wanted to get the lowest number possible. So we'll see that, because he played a little varsity last year. So a nice conversation with him. And then I talked to Nadia Anderson, who's a wrestler on the girls' side, but there's not a true, really girls' season, so they're exhibition matches for girls during the boys' season. And then there's some girls' invites, and I just asked her off the air, you know, about this conversation about basketball, because she played as a freshman on the varsity roster.
Well, that's what I was talking to Heath Smith, and he said she was a really good player.
I said, why don't you play basketball anymore? And her answer was simple. I really don't like playing. I like wrestling. I'm like, okay, good answer. That's
Moo.
The way it is.
That's her nickname.
That's right. So anyway, good conversation with her about that sport and participating, and all of those available at WMJ.com. All right. So we're running long on Sportsline this morning.
I'm sure we'll get a call about that.
Now, all right. So we have Greg Armstrong coming up, Jerry Creamer from the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, and then Brian Rusch. And by the way, a couple weekends ago, I was with Brian. They honored him up at Scales Mound High School. That's like seven. Scales Mound, they went back-to-back state appearances. I went up to participate in that with Brian. And Scales Mound is like 7 miles south of the Wisconsin border. And just a great, like, area of the state. And I just love kind of that setting. I mean, really, I think 70 kids in their high school. I mean, just really ultra-small high school sports and activities. Anyway, that was a good time. So let's take a break, and we'll have a good conversation coming up with our good friend, Mr. Greg Armstrong. He is with the View from the West podcast. We'll talk about IHSA district scheduling that failed. What is the answer? What is the solution? We'll get into all of that coming up.
Also on that really quick, we do have a reaction from Mercer County football coach Tanner Matlick and Sherrard football coach Brandon Johnston online on WRMJ.com as well. So you can listen to that. Both of them happy that districts got voted down.
Okay. And I wanted to say one other thing, because I always tell people to support local journalism. Kevin Hieronymus, am I saying his last name the right way?
Yeah, I believe so.
Bureau County Republican. He did a story. I didn't read it, but he had how each track school voted on district scheduling. I didn't read it, but I'm like, am I going to get mad if I read this thing? No, I'm just kidding. And there are no right or wrong answers. There's a lot of things to ponder and consider, and the IHSA knows. There's just so many things to try to figure out when you try to make satisfy everybody with high school football scheduling. So we're probably going to talk about this still a lot more over the next 4 or 5 months. All right, East High Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor. This is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com with Ty Taylor, and we have Greg Armstrong. The View from the West podcast. Is the high school football season ever going to end? There's been a lot of conversation about district scheduling. The proposal is voted down, but I think this subject matter is long from being over. And I guess the first thing I'll ask Greg Armstrong here is, what do you make of this football ad hoc committee that's being formed in 2024? I think to kind of look at the same issue maybe, right?
Yeah, I think what really stood out to me when the vote was announced and you saw kind of the press release, you know, I'd love to get you guys' opinions on it too, but I was impressed that the IHSA went ahead and didn't just leave it with a blanket press release saying, here's the result of the vote, here's the result of the vote, and we'll go from there. That they really kind of expanded on that, and they kind of acknowledged that it's an ongoing problem that's, you know, potentially not going away just with this one vote, because we've seen it pass before and then had it reversed, and now it's been brought up again, and it was a very hot button issue. So I think that I like the idea of them trying to, you know, figure out a long-term solution here, or at least come up with something that's not going to be perfect for everybody, but that will at least be beneficial to most schools. You know, I think that it's an issue that, like I said, is not going away. So I think that rather than trying to rush through it like this proposal seemed to be trying to do, let's have some long-term thought and really get a lot of ideas, but really focus in, like, you know, some efforts to make it right.
When did you start covering high school football in Illinois?
So I graduated from college in 05, but even when I was in college, I was kind of covering high school sports, you know, around the Ottawa sure. area, the South County area. So probably the early 2000s.
All right. So I'm going to tell you how district scheduling would have worked. If they would have rolled out a district scheduling plan when we had six classes in high school football, it worked. It would work. But with eight classes, I don't see it ever working. And I remember when they said eight classes, why they were developing eight classes or expanding, because they hoped that this would stop this conference shift, right? And what did it do? It made it absolutely worse. So it really has.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that, or that being the reason to go to eight classes. And I think that, you know, to your point, one of the possible, you know, proposals maybe down the road could be to, in the regular season, districts are comprised of 1A and 2A schools, and then 3A and 4A schools, and up the way. So they kind of group them together a little bit. So then there's not kind of this extended districts that go kind of across the state, especially when you get to the bigger classes, but that it maybe helps kind of keep schools playing in geographic regions with similar size, if not the exact same size. That's one solution, potential solution, I should say, that I thought kind of made sense if it's done the right way.
Well, I know, you know, you look at kind of the proposal that was voted down, was it was eight teams in each district, and there'd be eight districts in each class. So that equals, you know, if you do the math, 512 teams you need to make it full. And I think right now there aren't 512 teams playing 11-man football in the state of Illinois, and there was really no like wording on what would happen if there wasn't that many teams, if there's, you know, a team that can't play 11-man football where you then have a open date. So for me, I think that was one of the hangups too, is there was really no, you know, wording on what happens if a school can't play, or if we can't get to 512 schools playing. So Greg, I guess for you, is that kind of a hangup you think too?
Yeah, I think in general, I know why schools, you know, made the proposal, because there are some schools that really would benefit from district football. And I understand why they put it forward and why they wanted it to get approved sooner than later. But this proposal really failed to give enough details for me. I mean, I'm certainly not an athletic director. I'm not involved in a high school on a daily basis, but if I'm making a vote on something that impacts, you know, my yearly schedule and the teams we're playing and just the travel and the schools that are involved, that we're involved with, I need more details. And there was some, you know, good for Steve Soucy for doing the legwork to put out, you know, a projection, kind of a mock-up of what he thought they might look like. But even he was having to take some, you know, assumptions based on, are we going to pull in some Chicago Public League teams that aren't currently participating in the IHSA, you know, playoff system? And so he's making guesses on that to say, well, here's the ones I think would join, but they're across, you know, from 8A down to 1A. So depending on how those work, that projection couldn't be exactly 100% accurate. So there just wasn't enough detail for me. And I think that at some point, Mitch and I talked about it on our podcast, that at some point, I think there's a solution that would help a majority of the state. But this was lacking the detail, I think, to really what we'd really need to go through with it.
Well, and here's where I disagree with you 100%.
Okay.
I was talking about this with my radio friend, Brian Rouge. And I say, because what I heard kind of from schools is, well, I want to see what the district looks like before I vote. And I'm like, no, you either support the concept of district scheduling or you don't. And to me, that's what I don't like about it, because then if we know what the district looks like, then we're going to say, well, am I benefiting? Is this a good fit for me? Can I win these games? Then, yeah, you're going to vote yes. And then conversely, those schools that are not going to benefit are going to vote no. And I don't like that. I like the fact that, hey, either you support the concept or you don't, and then the IHSA says they can schedule. Now, I talked to Sam Knox back in during the 8-man state championship football game, and I said, can you guys get a schedule out if they approve this thing? And he said, unequivocally, 100% we can do that. So I'm like, okay, I feel comfortable with that. Then you can put a schedule together if they vote this thing down. I don't need to see it. Either I'm supportive of it or I'm not. So that's my opinion on it. But you disagree with that. You think they should know what the districts, like each school should know what district they're in before they cast the ballot?
Well, I think it would certainly help, because you start looking at, you know, even in talking to people from around the area, I grew up in Ottawa, Illinois, and Marquette High School, I think, would benefit greatly from district football. They are the smallest 11-man football program right now in the state. And they have a conference that's kind of, you know, like a lot of conferences around the state, there, it's very unsettled. There's been, you know, some shakeup. It's a new conference as of last year, but I think there's some shakeup that's going to happen moving forward. They could benefit from district football. But I think a lot of the people in the Ottawa area assumed that Marquette would be paired up with St. Bede from La Salle, Peru, just down the road. They're another 1A school. But that's not what Steve Soucy's mock-up said. Soucy's had St. Bede going one direction and Marquette heading the other direction, more north. So that's one of those things where, like, you know, you can't make any assumptions there, because you're two 1A schools that play 15 minutes apart. And to me, that's a problem. Like, I would want to know, yes or no, am I going to be paired up with schools that are nearby? Some of the schools in our area probably don't have as much to worry about, right? I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of those Three Rivers schools would be pretty close to staying similar. Obviously, Sherrard's being a little bigger, Monmouth Roseville being a little bigger. Those were ones I saw that were kind of outliers. But I just think there's too many questions. If you don't at least have an official projection, I don't know if it needs to be 100%, but I would like a proposal to have some kind of, you know, projected district mock-up officially, not just coming from Steve Soucy, you know, or someone else trying to help out.
I agree with Greg that I think they should have had some sort of thing to look at. Because like he said, you know, I just think that you need to know what you're voting on one way or the other. And I get that, you know, it's the principle of it. But still, I think that it would, you know, be more beneficial for everybody to know, you know, who we're going to be with, to see if this is something we want to do or not. So, Greg, I guess for you, you're in favor of the districts being voted down, right?
Yeah, I think for this exact proposal, yeah, I don't think it was the right timing. And with the trying to rush it into next season, I didn't think that felt right. And again, the lack of detail. So for this exact proposal, yeah, I was in favor of, or I was, you know, hoping that it would not pass.
So what do you think the answer is for high school football scheduling? I mean, is it up to the basically conferences to come up with a solution, or do you think that should fall into the lap of the IHSA and they are the end all be all for putting together the high school football schedule each year? So, I mean, isn't that what it boils down to? Either the IHSA schedules or the conferences vis-a-vis the school's schedule, which is it?
Yeah. I think so. You know, I do want to clarify, I think that when it comes to, you know, voting on a proposal with some projections, I don't think that falls on the IHSA. I think that would come from the IHSA member, the school or the program that's submitting the proposal. That's where I think a projection should come from, just to make sure I clarified that point. I think the IHSA's job down the road is to draw up what they know will work or what they, you know, based on the proposal. But I think the proposal should come with those details from the, you know, schools proposing it. I think ultimately, you know, going back to when the vote first went through, initially I thought we needed district football at the time. And the vote went through and then it was repealed and brought back. And now then I kind of flipped a little bit over the last couple of years. I thought, no, like, let's stick with conference play. I think that we can, you know, get it right. But the farther we get down the road here and the more discussions I've had, I do think at some point what is best for the IHSA football, you know, landscape as a whole is to have some sort of district formatting where, yes, it's a schedule that's regulated by the IHSA with some built-in caveats for non-conference football of each school's, you know, choosing who they want to play. I just, you know, I find we're really in a really interesting area when you start looking at two programs on the complete opposite end of the spectrum in the Western Big Six. Moline could not dislike district proposal, you know, more than anybody. They might be affected the most on the negative end with the travel and the extremely large district. On the opposite side of things, a school like Allman High School desperately needed district football. They needed it this year. They need it next year, and they're not going to get it. But sometime soon for that program to survive, they need a change in scenery, and district football would provide that. So I do think it's really interesting that on both sides, we're seeing, you know, the extreme cases right here in our area, and there's got to be some kind of happy medium. And I don't know if that involves, like I said, grouping up schools that are similar size when you start talking like 1As and 2As. Now, obviously, there's still going to be a 1A playoffs and a 2A playoffs and, you know, up the road. But just keeping them a little more centrally located in similar sizes. Or I've read about and I thought about it a few years ago. Could we do a model where the 1A through 4A goes into a district model and 5A through 8A plays in conferences? And now there's some gray area there about how 4As and 5As would be divided up. But I know that Iowa football did that for a long time. The small schools played districts and the larger schools stayed in a conference, you know, setting. So it is possible. It's been done before. I don't know if it's ideal, but it'd be something I think would be worth looking into.
Well, so you bring up a good point. All right. So, and this is one of the issues we get into here with district scheduling versus conferences scheduling and how conferences accept schools that are applying, right? So you mentioned you mentioned Allman. I have no problem at all, and I would be supportive unequivocally 100%, and I told their AD this at a girls basketball game this week. You should be in the track. You'd be perfect fit. And I think they would play a varsity schedule next year if they were in the track, right?
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
they're not. They can't play a varsity schedule, and they've confirmed that. I know a lot of people have made like a big like headline out of it, but they've already. I think the last few months they've told the Western Big Six we're probably, if we're in the Big Six, we're going to play a JV schedule next year, and I think if they were out of the Western Big Six, they would be able to field a varsity football team and play. Now I think we. I had talked to them, and I think they're going to make some kind of maybe determination by March of what they're going to do next year. So that's another issue with these conference, you know, how the conferences determine who gets in and who doesn't. You know, that's the other thing that drives me bananas. If they want to get in to me, they look like a good fit, but the conference says, no, we don't want you. So then what are they supposed to do? And then by the same breath, everybody else says, oh, we want to grow football. We want you to play football. But then, well, no, you don't, because you don't want them to get in the conference. They're not going to have a football team now, right? I mean, so there's all these, like, other things in play. So what is the answer for all of them? That's a big question mark. If district schedule doesn't happen, I really don't think Allman's probably going to play varsity football in the foreseeable future if they're a member of the Western Big Six.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer for them is. And, you know, I think that there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of things in play for Allman right now. Like, what are the possible solutions? What can you do? What would work possibly? I don't know. And I know that, you know, that Three Rivers is an intriguing option, but the schools have to go for it in the Three Rivers. And I don't know. No, I mean, nobody feels bad for, you know, all of them. Nobody in general, nobody feels bad for the Catholic schools. Right. But this is not a situation like Belleville Althoff in Class 1A or, you know, IC Catholic in 3A or whatever it is. Like, this is a much different scenario. This is not the same Allman school, the same Allman program that existed in the early 2000s. Yeah, no, you know? Right.
But by the same token, and I don't mean to cut you off, but then it's so weird. So the same group of people that are four districts that would put basically Allman in a 2A district are likely voting no for them to get into the track.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Where does that come from then?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it comes down to whether it's conferences or districts. Don't you think that IHSA football should operate completely independent of the other sports? So, like, why do we have to move Allman out of the – maybe Allman's not the greatest example because I think they would want to move in all sports. But why does the football team have to move conferences for every sport? Why can't we just have conference football conferences and then the other conferences play for other sports that make more sense? You know, I mean, Marquette Academy, the school I graduated from, has been doing that for years because they play in the Tri-County Basketball Conference, which most of those schools don't have football programs. So it's not a foreign concept to them. I don't see why we have to have schools married to the same conference for all sports because football is such a unique, you know, scenario. So I don't know.
I agree with you on that because I think a lot of the conference shifting has to do basically because of football, right? Because it's different. Yep. You have to qualify for the postseason. You have to schedule the 9 games. And I know, you know, just kind of talking with like coaches and ADs over the past couple of years, like when there is a opening you have, it's a nightmare to try and find somebody to play, especially like midway through the season. So, yeah, I think that a lot of the conference issues come down to football is the main reason. And that's why I think that this proposal was put out there, you know, in theory was like, we're tired of all this shifting in conferences, you know, for every sport, there just hasn't been a lot of stability. So, you know, like you said, Greg, I think that like Allman for me is a perfect fit in the track. And I just don't really understand the hang up really. I mean, I get that, you know, they're a private school in the Metro Quad Cities and like, you know, Newman's in the conference and obviously Sterling is different than the Quad Cities. But I just think that for Allman, you know, it's best for the kids there to not compete in the Western Big Six because, you know, you look at like, you know, for example, boys basketball, football, when they, you know, the years they've played varsity football recently, you see the scores, right? And it's really ugly. And I just don't see, you know, that being the number one, you know, best thing that those kids, they're not setting those kids up for success. And I think it's about the kids in high school athletics. And it just, I don't know. I just don't think Allman should be in the Western Big Six. Yeah. I know there's the tradition, but I think that time has passed for me.
Well, and at the height of Allman, when you look in the 80s and 90s, right? I mean, when Tracy was there, you're talking about a student body that was around 800 kids. So you had the opportunity of to really assemble the team, or assemble a high school football team. Now those numbers dwindled into the 2000s where they were still able to compete. And I think there were, you know, maybe 400, 450 kids, but they're well below that now. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can debate this parochial school, public school issue for as long as you want, but there's never going to be a separate state series. And now the IHSA has their president is a parochial school administrator. So that's never going to happen. And that wouldn't be good if it happened. I would never be supportive of separate parochial and public school state series. I think that is the wrong direction to look at this. Now, the other thing that I thought about Greg Armstrong here, that we have you on, and great to have you with us today, the voting. So 89% of the member schools offered an opinion on this. Now, some of them did not vote on the specific. They had no opinion on the district scheduling proposal, but 89% of the membership participated in the bylaw amendment proposal voting. And I know I've had a few conversations with some other people before, coaches specifically, about, well, should, you know, a member school of the IHSA that doesn't have a football team, should they be able to vote on a proposal involving football? So I'm going to ask you that question. And then I'm going to piggyback on that. And the same philosophy is, should the co-op that involves three schools, should they only get one vote, or should they get three separate votes? Because the argument is, they should, you know, from some people, are they should get only one vote. And I disagree. I say if they're a member of school, they get the vote. What do you think about that issue?
Yeah, I think at face value, when I, you know, when you realize that, you know, co-ops get two votes, and that, you know, eight-man schools or schools that don't even have football at all are getting a vote, I think initially you think, well, why are they voting on football? But then the more I think about it, it's for all the reasons we've just discussed, right? Is that this vote, and that the way that these schools are choosing football or not, are choosing to go, dictates kind of how the rest of your athletic calendar or the rest of your, you know, athletic programs work as well. I think it all kind of works hand in hand. Now, long term down the road, when you go to districts, and if we go to districts, and if football is kind of operating independently, then maybe there's a different discussion to have, that a football member school should only be able to vote on that. But as for right now, the way conferences have shifted and the way that football has affected everything, I think you kind of have to let every member school vote, because, you know, it's important to them in one way or another, some more significantly than others, but it does affect them.
And then the other thing we think about, when I think about, you know, district scheduling, I'm torn between district scheduling and conference scheduling, you know, because I see benefits of both, with local control of, you know, the conferences. And then, you know, then I see, well, there's always going to be these outliers where some schools are going to need help to put together a schedule. But, you know, I always look back to with the criticisms of the IHSA, right? And people, for whatever reason, they'll get mad about something, whatever it is. And when you govern all these different, you know, sports, you're going to run into some people that are unhappy about some decisions that you make. And we can sit here, even like when they announce postseason assignments for boys basketball, girls basketball, softball, right? Baseball, whatever, volleyball. People get mad about that, right? So
yeah.
What about, you know, so when people think about district scheduling, where they're scheduling everything, I mean, I just think that, you know, that opens the organization up to a lot of criticism as well. And then the other thing, from a small school perspective, right, it takes just one thing to happen to upset the apple cart, and especially with district scheduling. So if you have these 1A, 2A schools, right, and you have just one small school say, nope, we're not going to play next year, we're going eight-man, then what happens? You have a domino falling in what appeared to be a perfect district. Well, now it's not anymore, because we're going to have to bring another team in, shift another team here, and then people are going to say, well, wait a minute, that's not what I supported. Well, there are a lot of moving pieces right now, and we know what the declining population base is in the state, and we know the impact that eight-man football is having. So that's another thing, that the evolution of that is really going to impact a governing body that has to put together a schedule.
Yeah, overall, I can see some pluses and minuses to the IHSA taking over the scheduling. For years, I've always loved the way the IHSA system works. And I feel like outside of some very few exceptions, you're always getting the best high school football teams to qualify for the playoffs from 8A down through 1A based on the way the system is currently working, right? That you have to get to, they take the top, the top teams and then work their way down till they fill all the classes and then sort them out where they go. So there's no guessing on, well, should this team be in over this team? Well, records kind of indicate that if you get to that, what used to be 5 wins now can be 4 wins potentially, that you're going to get in over the teams that didn't have the same, didn't have as good of a record. Looking at least this current district proposal, there was a chance that some 5-4 teams could be left out. Whereas on the flip side, a 4-5 or even a 3-6 team could get in a district because all you have to do is win your district games. And now obviously those non-district games would help you, if you win them for seeding purposes, but really it's a race to win your district. So that worries me a little bit. I want to see proposals that maybe are a little more creative than just, looking at win your district, be the top 4 in your district. But I don't know. I know, like I said, there's some schools that desperately need it and some schools that desperately don't want it because of the travel. There's got to be some kind of, fine line in the middle where we can compromise. And I'm interested. I would love to talk to head coaches or athletic directors about ideas they have. I'm just curious, what the solutions could be.
Well, another thing for me with the proposal, you see like enrollments shifting a lot for schools. I know in a lot of sports, I think at the IHSA level, it's a 2-year enrollment cycle where they shift you and then they reset the enrollment there to see what classification you're in. So for districts, I think in this proposal, there was no wording in how that would work. I mean, I would assume it would probably maybe be a 2 or 4 year cycle where then you shift the enrollments and then the districts would change, probably every 2 years, at least a little bit. So to me, I mean, I don't think that's really a ton of stability either. I know you have this schedule guaranteed or whatever, but still, I mean, I think there would be a lot of shifting within the districts every time there's an enrollment cycle. So for you, Greg, I mean, have you thought about that at all, really?
Well, yeah. So that was kind of one of the other like unknowns was when we had asked Steve Soucy and you guys talked to him too, and that we had kind of asked him, so how will this work as far as like when these districts are drawn up and when they're reset? And he just said, there's no detail on it. So my best guess right now would be that we would go by the current IHSA system, and which is fine, which I guess makes sense. But when you look at schools that are playing 8-man football right now, which is kind of outside of the range of the IHSA, they're IHSA schools, but within football, they're not playing, competing within the IHSA. They're their own, I-8FA, the 8-man football association. So do those schools have to follow the 2-year rule, or can after 1 year they say, we're not big enough, we're not playing well, we don't have the numbers to support 11-man, so we're dropping out? And then that all of a sudden is like, well, wait a minute, you're in the middle of a 2-year cycle, but do they have to care if they're leaving IHSA 11-man football? They could just leave and say, no, we're going 8-man right now. So yes, I think with the instability, when it starts talking about those smaller schools, I think a lot is going to continue to change. And so I don't know how a district football schedule would accommodate that. That's another great question. So hopefully the committee is answering all of these right now, right?
All right. Well, did we get anywhere today with our conversation or not?
I don't know. I don't know where there is to get. I think
right.
I'm serious when I say I would love to have coaches, athletic directors, anyone reach out to me who has ideas, just because I'm curious to hear about what could work and what proposals they're talking about. I think I just want to see the IHSA get creative and find a solution that, we're not doing exactly what another state does, or we're not doing just this bare bones, here's what a district schedule would look like. Like, let's get creative and make it work for the state of Illinois based on kind of the unique setup we have. That's what I'm really hoping for. I'm not sure I'm as bold or brave enough to like do all the legwork myself like Steve Soucy, but yeah, if I could pull up the maps, maybe I'd have some fun with it and try to figure it out myself. But I don't know. That seems like a tall task.
I will say before we wrap up, Greg, the main reason that I was anti-district scheduling is just because for us, like locally, I'm so excited for the track schedule moving forward, and we would have lost a little bit of that with obviously like Monmouth, Roseville, and Sherrard would have been in a different district than Mercer County, Rock Ridge, and Orion down the line. So I'm so excited for the Three Rivers next year. What about you?
Well, like Mitch and I talked about, like, it would have really, if districts would have went into place, like it would have completely changed kind of the format of how we run the podcast, right? Like every week, once we get into the regular season, we're going through Western Big Six, then we're talking Three Rivers, then we're talking, you know, Lincoln Land, then NUIC. And sure, some of them play non-conference games here and there when they have to, but ultimately they're all playing each other in the regular season. This would have really been, we'd have been learning a lot about the other schools around the state, which I guess is good, but it would have been a lot of extra legwork. And I don't know if anybody feels bad about that, but I just, from my end, I was like, oh boy, it's a lot to think about.
Well, and that's why I think when Ty mentioned the, you know, just the rivalries that are going to be in play on that side of the track. And I agree too, because I was initially with the first district proposal several years ago. I'm like, yeah, we need to try that. But then finally, when this track came together in Mercer County, and I'm just being selfish here for, you know, our listing yep. coverage, that we have this great rivalries in play. And I will say it, and I'll preface my remarks by saying I'm an Alleman grad too, so people can take that for what it's worth. But I think Alleman would add so much to the track, that side, with Rock Ridge, with Sherrard, with Orion, and Mercer County, and you throw them in. And that gives them great rivalries too, because all these schools out here want to beat the parochial school. And that would be another great rivalry component to that league to bring them in. And I think they're, you know, still a long way away from, you know, kind of recharging their batteries and getting things going in the right direction. Now, their girls basketball team's solid, man. I saw them play this week. And I just think that type of school, that type of institution, it would benefit them from being in the league, and the track would benefit by them being in the league as well. So you need yeah. to get some of the people in the track on board and say, hey, you need to take
it's
a look.
To you, Greg.
View from the West podcast. Ask Brian Stocking. I wonder what is Brian Stocking? Would he be supportive of Alleman and the track, or does he want to be protective of his buddies at Riverdale or whatever? Well, you know, I don't know.
I don't know what Stocking's exact thoughts are on Alleman going to the track, if that was possible. But what I do know is most of the things that I think, he thinks the opposite. So if I think that right now I agree with you, Alleman would be a fit in the track, then that means probably Stocking would disagree. I just think, yes, Jim, to your point, I think what people have to remember is, and I already said it once, but I'll hammer it home again. This Alleman 15, 20 years ago, no, would not have been a good fit in this current track. They were bigger. They were much more, you know, had much more talent to choose from in their athletic programs. This current Alleman school, I think they'd be a great fit in the track as well. So I think that I hope people sit down and think about it and, you know, really kind of maybe help out doing what's best for, you know, a school that could use a change of scenery. So.
All right. We cover it all, Ty. You got anything else? Is that it?
I don't think I have anything else. Happy holidays, Greg. Enjoy the trip to Ottawa, man.
Hey, I will. Thank you very much. And it's one of these days I got to get to the downtown studios at WRMJ. I'm excited to see it.
It's an open invitation, man.
Yeah, and you can bring the whole team. We can do it on location.
Get Stocking here.
Yeah, we can do the whole squad here doing the show.
Although maybe you don't want to drive the whole way here with Stocking.
Oh, you know what? You need to think about, well, you probably can on Friday nights with your fancy TV job at WQAD, but I thought one Friday night next year, you guys could come out here and you could do the show here on the Friday night with the instant reacts.
Oh, we could totally do that. If we had a way to, you know, patch Mitch in live, yeah, we could totally do that.
And we would just bring, and then we would simulcast it and carry it on WRMJ, and we wouldn't say W. We wouldn't say WRMJ. We would just say View from the West podcast. So you would get all the credit for it. And then the powers that be at the radio station would be saying, "Why ain't you saying WRMJ on the airwaves?" And I'd say, "Greg Armstrong won't let us."
No.
So we'll think about.
I'm happy to be part of it anyway. It is involved.
Yeah, we'll think about doing that next fall. But I know there's going to be many more conversations, and this is an issue that will be ever evolving here during the off season. And great to get a react from Greg Armstrong. Sir, happy holidays. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Greg.
You're listening to WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor now talking holiday basketball with Jerry Creamer, who is one of the committee members of the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. And, you know, Jerry, as we start, I think that the holiday tournaments is such a great time for high school basketball in the state of Illinois. I know you've been around holiday basketball. I think you told me off the air, over 20 years you've been on the committee for the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. So for you, what makes this time of the year special, you know, putting a basketball tournament on?
Well, I think number one, we're very fortunate to be able to play this tournament at Western Hall on a college gym. And, you know, all the high school teams in the area really look forward to that. It's not hard to get teams to come here and play. You know, way back in the day when we had a super sectional here, that was always an opportunity for teams that thought they might advance to that point to get some experience on that gym before the super sectional. Of course, that's gone away from us, and we don't host one in there. Western Hall does not host one anymore. So it's not a drawing point, I guess, but still, again, the teams like to come here and play. We're just fortunate to have the facility, have the use of the facility during that tournament.
This tournament has such rich history. I believe 1946 was the first year, now into 2023, still going strong. So can you speak a little bit about kind of the history of the tournament and the tradition of it? I know you've been a committee member, like we said, for over 20 years. So how special does this tournament feel every year, you think?
Well, again, I think it's just an opportunity for teams in the area to get a chance to play in the tournament without traveling a great distance. Again, the tournament, like you said, started in 46 with eight teams. And our title is a little misleading because it's the Macomb Western Holiday Basketball Tournament. At that time, we had a Macomb High School and a Western High School here. So, of course, in the 70s, the Western High went away, and it's now just Macomb High. So that was the beginning. And I think about that time when Western went away, we moved into a 16-team tournament, and we've been able to bring some teams from, you know, far away too. Unfortunately, those teams, they bring some good experience to the tournament, but they don't bring a lot of fans. And of course, our revenue is based on the number of tickets we sell for the tournaments, and that's how we pay our bills.
So you talk about kind of the field there, and I think the tournament does a great job. Like you said, sometimes you're able to get teams from further away, but it always seems to be a really competitive, high-level field with a lot of, you know, elite teams in the state playing. So what is the process like for, you know, maybe sending invites out to teams? How do you, I guess, collect a field from year to year? How does that work for this tournament? Okay.
For the 16 teams that we have, we offer a two-year contract to each team. And those are staggered where we have eight teams, you know, 1 year their contract expires, the next year the other eight teams expire. So they have the option of getting out, you know, if they see fit before the 2 years are up, or at the end of the 2 years, we sit down, talk about it, and decide, you know, if they want to come back again for another 2 years. So, again, we just reach out to teams. If we feel like we're going to have a void or a team or two that may be getting out, we start looking for other teams within the area to come, you know, play here. And of course, most schools have to get their schedules, you know, a year in advance or better. So we've got to be looking into the future to make those moves.
All right, you look at this year's field, I think another year where there's a lot of, you know, really good teams. Of course, we know all about Rock Ridge, who has spent time ranked number one in the state in 2A. Illini Bluffs beat Rock Ridge last week. They're a team that has high expectations in 1A. Camp Point Central, the top seed, undefeated on the season. Pittsfield rounds out the top four, and then even down the line, you know, Macomb, I know, is off to a good start. Eureka's always a good program. So to me, Jerry, it looks like another exciting couple of days in Macomb at the tournament. Should be another good field, it looks like, right?
I think so. We hope we've got it matched as well as we can for the first day, and then it, you know, it looks like there could be some really good games on day two as well. So, you know, just see how things fall. I mean, we don't get it always right, so it can go the other direction too. So and that's the unfortunate thing. We scout these teams, but it's a pretty small window there with not that many games, you know, before the tournament. So you're kind of guessing, you know, who might move forward or improve or whatever. You know, you mentioned Camp Point Central. They just came off of, you know, winning football season, and they started playing basketball and basically, I think, about the day after their championship run in football was. So you got to think that team's probably going to get better as time goes on.
So what all went into the decision for, you know, the IHSA has allowed shootouts and tournaments over the past 2 years now to use the shot clock? It looks like the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament will use that this year. So what went into the decision to do that this season?
We looked at it last year. We felt like Western Hall has the shot clock. They got people that operated there for Western's games, of course, and they were available to us. We polled coaches, officials, players, and it was a pretty much mixed bag, I guess, last year, about 50-50, do it or don't do it. So we pulled back last year, decided not to do it. This year, before we even started, we had several people that last year were kind of thinking maybe not, came forward and said, hey, we need to do this. And of course, we're getting the information that there's a good possibility it will be a real deal next year in high school basketball.
And another thing I like about the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament that's kind of unique is how the championship day works, with the title game being played at 9:30 p.m. is when it's scheduled to start. Now, sometimes, mm-hmm. obviously, it starts later than that. I know throughout the week there are games at that time, too. So that's kind of fun, I think. Throughout the season, you don't really ever get late-night games like that. So is that something that you guys enjoy, too, kind of getting that unique late-night basketball feel over the week in Macomb?
Yes, we, you know, I mean, it's hard to put a team at 9 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't seem like anybody really performs that early in the day. So, but we have to start at that time to get through the day, you know, on a 3-day tournament. I mean, we've kicked the idea around maybe spreading this out a little bit, you know, another day, but we can't come up with a formula that really works. So this has been what we've done forever and probably will continue to do. You know, if, let's say Rock Ridge, Eureka, or somebody from a distance wins the championship. Of course, I got a long trip home that night, but I'm sure it'll be a good trip. So we usually end up fairly late every night, but we allow a little time between brackets in case we do have some overtimes, those kind of things to keep up anyway. So, but, and of course the last night we're awarding trophies after the last four games. And of course we have the all tournament team after the tournament as well. So that is voted on during the tournament and then awarded after the championship game.
All right, so as we wrap up with you, can you just speak a little bit about what kind of all goes into this whole production? I know it's like you've touched on, you have committee meetings. It's kind of a you know, big-time planning process. So just speak a little bit about what goes all into putting on this tournament every year.
Okay. It's a year-round event for us. Within 2 weeks after the tournament, we will sit down as a committee, talk through things, you know, what can we do better, what do we need to change, you know, that kind of thing, and start planning for the following year. We have a committee that's kind of broad spread. We've got, of course, the ADs from the high school and Western Illinois University both are on our committee. We have personnel from the university that are deal with facilities there that are on our committee, and, you know, other local folks that have other expertise. So we start the process, like I say, in January, probably sit back for a while. Then we get together early summer and start talking about here's what we're going to do and move forward. And we meet probably once a month as we go through the summer and kind of ramp up into the fall. There's a lot of things, you know, last minute things that need to be done so that we can start planning. We can look at, you know, team sponsors for the next year, advertising, those kind of things. And of course, we started last year with streaming the tournament. Again, doing that this year as well, and that's a new frontier for us. Most of us don't have much expertise in that, but we've got some people that do. So I think it's been favorable. I think some people might be a little concerned about selling tickets because of that, but we had a very good crowd last year, and anticipate that this year with ending on the weekend. Of course, that helps us tremendously.
It's a great event. Looking forward to the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament again this year after the Christmas holiday. That's Jerry Creamer with the tournament committee joining us this morning on WRMJ. Jerry, thanks for talking with us. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next week at Western Hall.
Same to you, and thanks for the coverage. And yes, we will see you next week.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
From Birkenstocks, cozy slippers, to classic sandals, there's something for everyone at 6140 Run. Shop the irresistibly soft styles of Birkenstock and explore this season's most wanted gifts. New for this holiday season is the Boston line in leather and suede. It's the most popular Birkenstock sandal and would make a great Christmas gift for anyone in the family. See the new lineup of Birkenstock sandals available this holiday season at 6140 Run, 185 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And Jim, a story you've been kind of following for quite some time came to a conclusion, at least initially, earlier this week when the IHSA announced the voting results concerning football districts.
And that proposal goes down to DeVete. It was interesting because I thought early when it was announced, it seemed like there, at least in the social media sphere, it seemed like there was a lot of support for it. And then as things kind of waned on toward the voting timeline, it was a two-week period, I think, I was hearing less support. So it was interesting to see what the vote was going to be. And it was 272-4, 379 against, and 76 of the schools that cast ballots had no opinion on the issue. Now, I did like the fact that 89% of member schools, 727 out of 815, did vote. Now, I don't think this issue is over because in the press release that the IHSA sent out, they you know, basically indicated, hey, this is still an issue that we need to see if there's some solution. So they're going to develop a football ad hoc committee in 2024. So I think there'll be some proposal probably coming out of that. We'll have to wait and see if membership will vote on that or if that's a board directive. The one interesting thing, though, I hear about this issue when I've talked to some people, and I don't know how you feel about this, that, you know, the argument is on this issue as it relates to football is I've heard some people say, well, only schools that have football should be able to vote on it. So I don't know where you stand on that. And then I've heard if you have a co-op, that co-op should just get one vote and not two schools or three schools that are involved. I'm against that. I say if you're a member school, you get the vote. That's the way, you know, organizations work. Do you think it should be only football playing schools that vote?
No, I don't. I'm with you, Jim. I think everyone should have a vote in it. I think it's a situation where, yes, I get it that it's, you know, specific to football, and you might change the outcome if you only have the schools that are, you know, hosting a team voting. And the co-op situation, boy, there's some co-ops where there's friction anyway, and you're going to throw that in. So, yeah, I think you just leave it for the entire membership.
And then I too, look at the issue as it pertains to smaller schools because, you know, there's just not one size that's going to fit all when it relates to high school football. And I know with this 8-man issue out there and a lot of schools contemplating, should we go to 8-man, should we not, that kind of impacts this district scheduling format at the small school level. And we're dealing with declining enrollment basically everywhere in Illinois. So that's just a moving target. And, you know, I think about district scheduling, if there were less classes, right, it probably would work. You know, if we go back to the days when there were 6 classes, but now with 8 classes, so many people are so sensitive about, hey, we got to play the schools that are specifically our same size or we can't do this. And when you have 8 classes and you're throwing in this wide geography in Illinois, it's just, to me, it's going to be tough to do that because there are always going to be those outliers that say, well, how did this school wind up in this district? And you're taking local control away again, which I think is a big issue. And people always get mad about the IHSA with certain things. And then I say, you want them to schedule all the football games too? So those are my reservations still looking at this whole thing. But it'll be interesting to see if this football ad hoc committee comes up with something for IHSA membership to consider.
Yeah, and I think two things that kind of concern me around here is the changing landscape with the 8-man football, and I think you would increase some of the travel just because, you know, you don't have quite as many 11-man teams as you once did, so the districts would be kind of vast. And then secondly, I didn't like the fact that if it would have passed, it would be implemented right away. I mean, I know the Big Ten has to do that because of their expansion, but you would think that maybe you could give it a year and then, you know, dive into it. I think that's the thing that kind of scared me. I felt bad if the ADs had to dive into that district schedule, especially those games early in the season where you're stepping outside the district and you can play whomever you want it.
All right, and here's the other thing, too, that this is how I'll close it, and I'll probably make some people mad on this. Now, because I totally disagree with this, where I've heard one of the main reasons the thing went down is because schools couldn't see what the districts were going to look like. They wanted to see the districts before they voted. Me, I'm like, no, you don't get to see what the districts look like before you vote. Either you want the concept and you support it, or you don't. So there's probably a lot of people saying now, who's saying that? Is Roosh saying that or Taylor? Taylor's saying that you shouldn't get a C. Either you support the concept or you don't support the concept of district scheduling. Am I right on that or not?
Yeah, I'm with you there, because I think that really, yeah, that kind of tarnishes the vote, because there might be some schools that say, hey, we don't want to have to face this team every year, so we're against it now, even though we were in favor of it going in before we got to see the sneak peek at the proposed districts.
And here I thought the football season was over, but apparently it is now with this district scheduling vote, but we'll have to see what this football ad hoc committee comes up with in 2024. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah, and I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Give the gift of comfort and style this year with a pair of Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run. They have the largest selection of styles and colors in stock in the store's history to choose from. And they're all on sale for Christmas gift giving. Hey Dude takes pride in having the comfiest, cushiest, and lightest shoes you can find. Their selection features Hey Dudes you can wear while dressing formally or lounging around. Hey Dude shoes. Shoes, but way comfier. And all on sale now at 6140 Run. 185 West Main in Galesburg.
Hey, I love our local sponsors here on WRMJ, WRMJ.com, and streaming worldwide on the WRMJ app. So, if you need a last-minute Christmas gift, 6140 Run and get Hey Dudes and put them under the Christmas tree, right?
In Galesburg, yep.
Yeah, do you like reading the Rex McCord or halftime scoreboard?
Absolutely. I'm glad that he's sticking on with us through the basketball season. I think if you asked him to do anything on our local high school
Rex
sports broadcast, he would say yes. He's always listening. I always joke during our football broadcast with Eric Hutchins in the fall when we read the Red Zone that Rex, he like is listening to all four games at once every week probably.
Well, I always ad-lib my Rex McCord Red Zone, so I hope he never gets mad.
Rex I know his phone number by heart, so if you need anything with, you know, any sort of like tillage tools or with Yager machinery sales, Rex McCord is your local rep. It's 309-337-1680. Call or text that number even on the weekend of Christmas.
Well, and somebody, this is last year, came up to me and asked me, and they said, Is it true what you say about him? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Do you know, if you go out to the Mercer County Fairgrounds and sit on a picnic table under a shade tree, he'd talk about farm machinery, high school sports, yeah, and the Mercer County Fair. And I'm like, word, he would definitely do
whenever
that.
Whenever I talk to him about advertising stuff, I'm normally on the phone for quite a while because there's a lot to talk about with him. He's a very astute listener and an astute, you know, fan. He's always pretty spot on with his observations too, so
especially about high school sports.
Yeah, yep. I love talking to Rex. He's a great guy.
All right, so we have one more show in 2023.
Yeah, yep. Next Saturday.
So what is the outline for that?
Well, hopefully we've got a couple of tournament championships to cover that day. I know Sherrard's.
Oh, that's right. Games are played next Saturday.
Sherrard's tournament wraps up Friday, but you know, hopefully Rock Ridge, they would play semifinals potential championship that day, Saturday, Mercer County. I think the boys and the girls both have a chance to get to the championship at the Cliff Workins Memorial Classic. So hopefully we're getting ready for some holiday tournament championship basketball next Saturday.
All right. Here's another thing I was thinking about as, you know, I always think about like the people we get to work with and some of the favorite people that I interact with. Now, this is a guy that I love seeing during the football season because he's always the guy that has to, like, drag the equipment around for some reason. And he's doing it by himself now. He used to, it would be usually him and Toby Whiteman would be carrying, like, the football video equipment around. And that's Lucas Smith. Did you see what, are you friends with him on Facebook?
Yeah, but I didn't see what you're probably referencing.
So last night it was awesome. His wife is an Aledo grad. I don't know if she's a Mercer County grad or an Aledo grad.
It would have been Aledo, probably.
Brokaw. And she posted a picture, and I didn't know this about him and their family. They're big hockey fans, so they took the kids, and Brooke and Lucas were at the Blackhawks game last
great.
Night.
Good, I thought yeah, that was good for them.
Lucas, he had a hockey sweater on.
Yeah, there you go. He's, yeah.
And I think they were all the kids were all like dressed out in Chicago Blackhawks gear. Do you think he's the kind of hockey fan that would? Now I can't imagine Lucas Smith. His demeanor would be like the type of hockey fan when there's a penalty or the penalty's over, or he's banging on, banging on the glass. I don't know. What do you think? No?
I don't know. I know, like, because he's in the booth for football, and from when I see him, he's one of those, like, coaches that doesn't really react somehow, some way, right? I remember that Sherrard game when it was back and forth and they won late. You know, he's very stoic, so maybe, probably not. He's probably not banging
he's
on the glass.
He keeps his, he's calm, cool.
Shoot the puck! on the power play.
Yeah, so it's nice to see that. So, yeah, so we start broadcasting, is it Wednesday next week or Thursday?
Wednesday. We'll have Mercer County and Erie Prophetstown and girls Wednesday from Prophetstown. Thursday, we have Sherrard versus Geneseo boys at noon. And then Mercer County Fulton boys at 6. And then from then on, it is to be determined.
So
I'm sure I'll get asked a million times what we're doing every day, even though I've told everybody already that it's to be determined.
Yeah. So this week, it was funny, when we were doing the Alleman Mercer County girls game. So the PA announcer at Alleman for girls games, it was so awesome because he had like this red, like Christmas holiday themed, like jacket on. And he like, you know, typical, he was into the PA, you know, thing.
He thought he
know?
Was doing the 1990s.
Like, yeah, he was like, basket by Sid Lampkin for
there
the Eagles.
Go, yeah.
And then, so he's running all over these, like, things, pregame announcements. And like, you know, no. Here are the starting lineups for, you know, you read the sportsmanship creed or whatever. And
right.
Here are the starting lineups for the Mercer County Golden Eagles, give me one of their starting players. Manny Hoffman.
Yeah,
Sid Lampkin. Number two, junior, Molly Hoffman, blah, 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 officials today. And so as he's saying this, he's like, he's starting to walk toward the center of the court. So he's doing all this stuff at the same time. And so he gets like, does, and the officials for tonight, Marty Flaherty, Dave Hasley, and Tad Johnson. Those weren't the officials. I'm using those as examples. And then he's like, and now, our national anthem.
And he sang it.
He sings it. I'm like, holy smokes. And then he goes back to the table.
Eric Hutchins needs to do that.
Yeah. Eric Hutchins needs
to. And Glenn Cook.
Yeah. Or Terry Tracy.
Terry Tracy.
Can do
right.
that too. And then he can sing Oh Canada.
Yeah, right.
All right. So appreciate all the help all year 2023. We got one more show coming up. Next Saturday morning. I would call it kind of a wild card segment probably, but we'll have great content per usual. Appreciate Greg Armstrong. That was a fun conversation with him. And I know, like, these subjects, it's always funny. Like, people get all mad about sometimes, like, conference affiliation or whatever, scheduling. It's like, calm down, man. It is what it is. So we can have these conversations about it. And, like, I tell people, I don't know what the right answer is. And I'm not telling you what I'm saying is the right answer. It's opinion on what we're going to do, and the discussion's not over, so we're going to have many more discussions about this, but it'll be conference scheduling heading into the fall of 2024. So Mercer County plays Monmouth Roseville right off the bat next year. Is that here at Pratt, or is that
that's
at Sunny Lane
on
Field?
The road, and then week two they're at home against Sherrard.
All right, so we'll, you know, we the school year flies by, and we'll be thinking about the new school year before too long. Anything else, Ty, before we let you leave us today?
Ready for holiday basketball next week. I always like covering those tournaments is kind of a fun, unique thing throughout the, where it's like during the week and you're just in a gym all day. I'm excited to go to Macomb, though. I'm hoping next Saturday we're there till like 11:30 p.m.
That's a fun day, man. When those were fun. The four times they've won that thing, those have been fun days in radio, that's for sure, and playing at Western Hall. And if you haven't been, you know, even if you're not a Rock Ridge fan per se, it's just really good small school
that's
basketball.
That's the best tournament around is Macomb, and they run it great. The thing I like about it before we wrap up, and this is the other big complaint I have about most of these tournaments, just do a bracketed tournament. I hate all the pool play stuff, and then you got to follow every score to know who's playing where. The thing I like about like Macomb, like the State Farm Multi Classic, for example, too, it's bracketed. If you win, you play here. If you lose, you play here. It's simple as that.
Well, can we segue and can we do that for the Lincoln Trail Conference Boys and Girls Basketball Tournament?
Because
somebody said, some coach said to me the other day, he's like, the 3-month Lincoln Trail Conference
that tournament. Thing. So you used to do it bracketed, and then I said this last year, I probably made people mad, but it's like,
well, most coaches say that they want it.
Every decision they've made with that tournament to like adjust it has been the wrong decision. It's like anyway, I'm glad that this is our last year having to cover that thing.
Yeah,
and do it over one weekend.
A double elimination bracketed tournament. Yeah.
Because my argument too, and I said, and Macomb, that's what they do, double elimination. Who wants to play an 11th place game on a Saturday? Nobody. So do away with that. Do it bracketed. Just do the tournament. I mean,
and then they'd probably have to play that, you know, officially 11th place game in the Apollo Gym. No?
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I'm in favor.
You're mad, and it's the holiday season.
Because I understand the Thanksgiving holiday tournaments, right? That's the beginning of the season. You're there to just play games. If you win the tournament, I mean, you want to, but it's not really what the point of it. It's deep enough in the season now with these holiday tournaments. Just do a bracket so it's a true tournament. You know, I just, and like you said, the Lincoln Trail tournament, it's just, I don't know why they do it that way.
I still remember, though.
It's very confusing. That's the thing. It's confusing for the average fan to know who's playing when.
One of the funnest times I ever had covering the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament, Mercer County won, and Coach Hutton was the winning coach. And that was the game, I think, where Tanner, because everybody talks about Connor Sharp, banked one in from the corner to beat Weathersfield. Well, Tanner Benson, that year they won it, he banked one in from the corner. Right. Not to win it, but it was a key shot in the game. And then I remember the Taco Bell in Kewaunee after the game. I went with the team, and I thought it was so sweet what one of the kids said to Coach Hutton. So he's sitting down with me and his coaching staff. And do you remember Spencer Slomoski?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They got the trophy. That I love the trophy for the LTC tournament.
Yeah, it's great.
So they have the trophy with him or whatever, and Coach it. The Spencer Slomoski kid comes up to Coach Hutton and he goes, "Will you sit at our table with us?" Is Coach Hutton still around? Does anybody ever see him?
Oh, he coaches at Carl Sandburg. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen him. I was really expecting him to be at that Sherrard Rock Ridge game, but he wasn't there. Maybe he'll be at the one at Sherrard.
The last text I heard from him was during the football season, and he texted me, "Is that really the score you're saying during the 8-man game?" Because he's good buddies with Elder,
right?
Of course. All right, anything else? Go ahead.
One more thing. So the Lincoln Trail Conference...
It's 10:37. Yeah. They're saying, get off the
I'm still
air!
Complaining. So the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament schedule, the thing I think it's funny about it too every year, so they send it, they split it into two or four pools, whatever it is. And then the schedule, they seed the teams. But the schedule they send doesn't have the teams, it's the seed.
Oh.
So you have to flip the page back and forth, and it's like, what is going on here? So whoever... So I think... Mercer County.
It is like the same font every year, right?
If Dustin Murray is listening, please take the time to erase the number one and type in who the school is, because it just like, come on, people. Do you want people to show up and know who's playing? Anyway,
Murray wants to come back on and do the open.
Right, that was fun when he was.
I know. I loved it. I listened. I was on the road. So, all right, that's Ty Taylor. I'm Jim Taylor. And we're signing off on the WRMJ Sports Line on Saturday, December the 23rd at 10:38:39. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
This has been Sports Line on WRMJ.
Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.